They did all right, amen. They're going to do better, though. They're going to work on it more and more, amen. And they're going to get it down to where it's good. Really good. All right. Let's grab our Bibles, if you don't have them open yet, to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Our text verse tonight, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice the first part of the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. There was in a city somewhere in America where an average family was living in an average home in an average neighborhood. One day, as the children were playing out in the front yard, a car pulled up. Out of the car came two men, both dressed in suits. The men walked up to the front door. They knocked on the door. A woman answered the door. She told the men they would have to come back when her husband got home from work. Men left, and several hours later that day, that same car returned with those same men. The men knocked on the door, but this time a man answered the door, and he spoke for a moment or two with the men, and then he opened the door, and the men with the suits on went inside. Several moments had passed and they sat in the living room and visited. And one of the men in the suit, one of the suits was a pastor of a local independent fundamental Baptist church in this town. This man presented the gospel to this man and his wife in their living room. They got saved that day. The next day was Sunday. The man, his wife, and their children went to church on Sunday at that man's church where he pastored. They went to the services. They arrived, and noticing as they arrived a big sign over the front doors that read this statement, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." All three children got saved that day at the invitation. That day, the entire family got baptized also. After time, the family became more faithful and more faithful to that church. They began not just to come to Sunday morning only services, but Sunday night and then Wednesday nights also. And soon they began to tithe like all good Christians should. Amen. The man eventually became a bus captain in the church. The wife eventually began to teach Sunday school teacher. Became a teacher. One day, one of the children surrendered to be a missionary in a foreign field. The young man went off to Bible college to be trained for this ministry. He enjoyed coming back home to visit his family and his old church over the holidays in the summertime. He finally graduated one day and then got married to a young lady he had gone to school with. He and his new wife began to go on deputation to raise support to be a missionary on a foreign field. Once their support was finally raised after several years, and by the way, one of his biggest supporters in this endeavor was his old church he got saved in and grew up in. He finally got his support raised and went to the field. And then they began to work and to minister on the field after learning the language. had been on the field for a couple of years and noticed that something was happening. The support checks from his old church began to become irregular. They didn't come every month like they used to. They began to hit and miss. One month they'd come, another month they wouldn't. The next month they'd come, another month they wouldn't. The next month they'd come, and then maybe a couple months would miss, and then a check would come. This went on for, a year or so. Finally, he began to inquire with his family about how things were at the church. His family notified him that the church didn't run bus routes anymore. They began to give that up. They also had just recently discontinued their soul winning program that they had at their church. Finally, one day he got a letter from his mother, and that letter said that they had finally decided to leave the church and were going to a different church in another town a little ways away. This young missionary noticed his support checks from his old church had stopped altogether and they didn't come anymore. After about 6 more months, the missionary had an opportunity to come back home for a short visit. He decided while he was back home visiting his family, passing through, that he would stop at his old church and try to see the pastor. He stopped by, but found the doors were locked. The grass and the weeds had grown real tall. The buses sat empty on the side of the building. It looked like a deserted place. As he got ready to leave the parking lot, he turned around to take one last look at the old church where he had gotten saved. As he looked back, he noticed the old sign that had always been there above the doors. He noticed that something had happened to the sign. The W had fallen off, and it read this way: "Here, there is no vision. The people perish." Here, there is no vision. The people perish. Vision is important, especially in the area of ministry. Amen. The definition for the word vision, it means sight, as in mentally, or a dream. A dream. So, with this church and our story here, just what went wrong? Just what went wrong? I'm going to give you several things tonight. We'll look up a few verses as we go. And then we'll get to the real sermon at the end for about the last 10 or 15 minutes. But just follow me here. First of all, what went wrong with this church? They had no vision for the middle class anymore. They had no vision for the middle class anymore. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That means everybody. We love to use that to apply to the poor, and we'll get to that in a minute. But you know what? That applies to everybody, even the educated. Amen. Somebody has to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be shied off to go ahead and visit with them. Don't be afraid to witness to them. Don't be afraid to talk to them. You got to have a vision for the middle class. They had no vision for the middle class. Also, they had no vision for the poor. They had no vision for the poor. Luke 14:13 says this: "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." Hey, they had no vision for the poor. Jesus talked the most about reaching poor people than he did anybody else. Hey, wait a minute. They had no vision for the poor. That's what happened at church. They lost their vision. They lost their dream. They had no vision for the poor. Hey, they had no vision for the bus kids. Hey, take your Bibles with me just briefly, or quickly rather, to Psalms 82. Psalms 82. Let me show you a verse. Psalms 82. Verse 3. Psalms 82 and verse 3. They had no vision for middle class. They had no vision for the poor. They had no vision for the bus kids anymore. Psalms 82 and verse 3 says this: "Defend the poor and what? Fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked." In verse 4. So defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Hey, listen, they had no vision for the bus kid anymore. They had no, hey, they need us. They had no vision for the bus kid. Had no vision. They had no vision, no vision, no vision. Take your Bibles to James chapter 1, just quickly, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. Notice what it says. To visit the what? Fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To visit the fatherless. The fatherless. No vision for the bus kids. Hey, most bus kids are like the fatherless. So why is that? Because they don't got a father that brings them to church. That's why. That's the same thing as being fatherless. Amen. Hey, we're supposed to defend the poor and the fatherless. Amen. Hey, to visit the fatherless. To visit the fatherless. Amen. Hey, that church lost their vision for middle class. They lost their vision for the poor. They lost their vision for the bus kids. Hey, they didn't have any vision for the mentally handicapped anymore. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, just quickly. Matthew chapter 4. We're only going to look up a few more verses, then we're going to get to preaching. Matthew chapter 4. And you might be wishing we was back to looking up verses. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were, what's it say, lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. The lunatics. Hey, no vision for the mentally handicapped. No vision. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to have a vision for him, amen. Somebody's got to care about him, bless God. Oh, I realize they can be annoying. I realize that Brother Louie, like we bring here, he can be annoying sometimes, but you know, somebody got to care about him. Amen. God sure cares about him. You know, he's still God's creation, isn't he? Yeah, he sure is, isn't he? Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to care. Oh, it's tough. I know sometimes they can be annoying. Sometimes it's difficult working with him, dealing with him. But you know what? Somebody's got to care. They didn't have any vision for him anymore in their town. That's why the church died. No vision. No dream. The dream was gone. The vision was gone. It was all gone. Hey, look at Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel in the Old Testament chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. Look at verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. They had no vision for the mentally handicapped. They had no vision also for the elderly. No vision for the elderly. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Hey, these ancients were old people. Hey, wait a minute, they were doing wicked things in secret here. What about the elderly today? We have to try to reach them. Amen. That's why we had service at the nursing home today. Amen. Because we got to try to reach them. Amen. Hey, you'd be surprised what kind of perverted things people do even in a nursing home, bless God. They got filthy magazines they hide away in their rooms. They watch filthy things on television. They sure do. Not everybody. But a lot of them do. They need Christ. Hey, our nursing homes in our towns are full of people that are religious but lost. They're religious but lost. But you know one thing I found for, 8 or 9 years since I've been going to nursing homes here in this town and years before that when I went to nursing homes in other towns, I found one thing about them is if you're holding a service down there, they'll usually come if they're awake. And guess what? It don't matter whether they're from a Lutheran church, it don't matter whether they're from the Methodist church, or whether they're from Catholic church, or whatever else. They come and they listen to you preach. They come and they listen to you give the gospel. We've led a lot of people to Christ in nursing homes not too long before they died. Amen. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, but I'm afraid this church in our story, they lost their vision. They lost their vision for the elderly. They had no vision for young couples. They had no vision for the young couples. Young couples bring little children. This brings new life to a church. Churches have to have that to survive. That's part of the reason why some years ago we redid our nursery and expanded it. That's the reason why we started that home and family class. That's the reason why we need to keep it. Because we got to realize, hey, you got to have something to offer for young couples if you want to try to help them. You got to have a vision for them. If you want to get them in, you got to offer something for them. Amen. Hey, they didn't have any vision for the middle age either. They got souls too. They can be the backbone of any church and ministry. They offer stability. But so many churches have no vision for them. So many of our newfangled churches, everything's geared for the young crowd and the hip crowd and all that. What happens to the middle-aged people and the elderly people? What happens? They don't have anything for them. And then they wonder why they have no stability in their churches. Those are the people that offer stability in life. They offer stability. They have no vision for single moms. They're in a tough situation. They have no vision. They've got to be reached. They've got to be helped. They've got to be taught. They've got to be ministered to. In our home and family class, we include them too. But there's a need. They had no vision for it, though. They need to have compassion shown towards them. Hey, how about this? No vision for their own neighborhood. No vision for their own neighborhood, amen. We're constantly making strides to try to reach our own neighborhood, amen. We want the entire city reached, but we can never forget our home turf right here, amen. The insurance man that we had told me one time, he said, "Boy, your church is like a beacon of light down here, ain't it?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "There ain't no other light down here, that's for sure. Amen, except for Bud Light." And I said, "That's what they got flowing around here a lot. They got no light." Well, there is no vision. The Bible says the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, preacher, what's the answer to keep that from happening then? What's the answer to keep that from happening in the church like it did in that story? There is an answer. Let me give you three things tonight that'll tell you how to keep that from happening. Because our campaign coming up is about how to do it together, amen? We got to do it together, but here's what we got to have. Remember the word vision. Means not having sight, but it was mentally, or not having a dream. We've got to do this then, number one. We've got to have a dream. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a dream. Got to have it. If you want to survive, if you want to stay alive as a church, you got to have a dream. Amen. The person who has no dream in his life will realize no success ever. As a person and an individual, you got to have a dream if you're going to go anywhere, even in your own life. A young person who's facing life needs to have a dream. A young person who gets to the point where they get out of high school, they've got to have a dream for something in their life. A person who gets out of college, they've got to have a dream. They've got to realize where they're heading. They've got to have dreams about something if they're going to get something done. Got to make some plans. Got to take some action on those plans. Got to have a dream. Got to work toward them. Just like it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But that church in the story, the W fell off and it said, here there is no vision. The people perish. And it was very true. That young man was a missionary because of that church. But the church wasn't reaching anybody anymore. Now people weren't being reached. Now the families that were there were being scattered. The ones that wanted the right kind of church had to go find it somewhere else in another town. So now the town's forsaken and it's perishing. So if a person has no dream, especially a man of God, people will perish. People will perish. Church member, you have to have a dream. You have to have a dream for our neighborhood. You have to have a dream for our city. You have to have a dream for our church. You have to have a dream. You have to have a dream. Somebody's pacemaker just stopped. Better put a new battery in quick. You have to have a dream. You have to have a dream. Oh, it's important. Gotta have a dream. Mothers should have a dream for their children. Hannah held little Samuel close to her breast, the boy for whom she had prayed so hard, and they thought that she was drunk at the time. Hannah had a dream for that boy. Hannah had a dream that God would use him one day for something great. She promised God that if she could have a boy, that she would lend that boy to the Lord for life. Have a dream for your child to be something big for God one day, to do something big for God one day, and to be pure, and to be decent, and to be honest, and to be respectful, and to be upright when they grow up, and to become an adult of integrity and character. Amen. Have a dream for your kid. Have a dream, mothers. Have a dream. Jochebed built a little ark of bulrushes and dabbed that little ark with pitch and placed that little body of Moses, her little boy, in the ark, trying to save him from death at the hands of a wicked Pharaoh. Jochebed had a dream for that little boy. She had a dream. She had a dream. She had a dream. That's why she'd make the effort. That's why she cared. She had a dream for him. Every time she put a little piece of a bulrush next to another, she had a dream going on in her mind. Every time she dabbed the bulrushes with pitch, she had a dream in her mind. Every time she put, when she put little Moses in that ark, she had a dream for that boy. When she walked away with tears flowing out of her eyes and her heart falling apart, she had a dream for that boy. She had a dream for him. What a dream she had for him, Moses. He did more than what she could have ever imagined. The dream was that Moses would do something great for God. And folks, he was one day one of the most mighty deliverers of God's people that there ever was in the history books. But he had a mother that had a dream for him. Had a dream. There were others with dreams for their children. When Eunice opened the Word of God and brought it to little Timothy, she had a dream. When Eunice looked to little Timothy standing at her knee and learning the truths of God from her, she had a dream. She had a dream that someday her boy would be strong, a stalwart man of God. That dream was fulfilled. She had a dream for her boy. Have a dream. Have a dream tonight, parents, for your kids. Have a dream for the lives of your children. Have a dream. People should always ask themselves, what does God want me to be with my life? Parents should always ask their children, what does God want you to be when you grow up? Not what do you want to be, what does God want you to be when you grow up? Amen. That's all that's going to matter in the end, is what God wants you to be. Take your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me give you one more verse tonight. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. So number one tonight, have a dream. Have a dream or a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no dream, the people perish. Jeremiah 23, 28. The Bible says this. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? First part of the verse, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Number two tonight, tell a dream. We said number one, have a dream. Number two, tell a dream. Tell a dream. Tell a dream. Tell a dream. Jeremiah said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Now I'll tell you why he said that. If you tell your dream, you'll come near to fulfilling that dream one day. If you tell it to others. I mean, let me tell you something tonight. When I was younger, working at the sheriff's office in northeast Nebraska, I had a dream. My dream is that I would be doing just what I'm doing tonight. That was my dream. My dream was that. It was interesting because in those days I was living out one of my childhood dreams. by just working at the sheriff's office and doing what I had always planned on doing with my life, what I wanted to do. But as I grew in the Lord and got closer to Him, after I had gotten right with Him, I knew God was calling me in my heart to the ministry. As I grew closer to Him, my dreams changed. Just the fulfillment of being a pastor of an independent Baptist church was a big part of the dream, but not the entire dream that I had. I had a dream of a church in this town that would grow larger and have many ministries that would work towards getting people saved and helping salvage lives and help patch families back together again. I had a dream that this church would one day have a growing Sunday school department with many classes for all ages and all kinds of people. I had a dream that there'd be a bus ministry that would start out small and grow larger over the years that would help bring people to church that couldn't get there any other way than riding the bus. I had a dream of a church that saw people getting saved every week and saw people getting baptized all the time. I had a dream of a church that would one day have a Christian school for the families to educate their kids. And even one day farther down the road from that, a Bible college to train young people for the ministry. I had a dream of a church that would one day have perhaps its own rescue mission even, and actually have a mission that's run the right way, amen, and where they're actually getting the guys to go to church, amen, instead of just letting them be bums that are getting a free meal and a free place to sleep, like half of those guys are doing over there, not working the program the right way, and that's all fine, but you know what? There are some people that do it the right way, but most of them over there aren't, but they're not enforcing it like they should. Amen. Because I've been to a lot of rescue missions in a lot of different parts of the country, and to be honest with you, I ain't seen very many of them that run very good, except one I've seen run by an independent Baptist church that was run the right way. Actually, I've seen two different ones run by independent Baptist churches that were run the right way. Amen. Those guys and those people had to go to church. Amen. They had to go to church if they wanted to stay. They had to be involved in church if they wanted to stay there and be fed for free and be slept for free. And they had to be involved in church. They had to be given the gospel constantly. They had to get involved in the church eventually. I had a dream for something like that here. I had a dream for a church that would one day have overcomer programs for helping underprivileged children to make something out of their lives for God and so forth. I had a dream of a church that would have couple Sunday school classes and that would teach marriage things to those couples so they could grow closer to each other and closer to God at the same time. I wanted to have a church where young people could go and decency would be uplifted and exalted, and they'd have a youth pastor that was on fire for God and wanted to try to help those young people. And I wanted there to be a place where those young people would be encouraged to keep themselves all the way to the wedding altar clean and pure. I wanted there to be a place, amen, a place that the Bible was eventually preached every day to somebody in some capacity through its ministries. That's the kind of church that I had a dream of. A place where virtue was exalted. I had a dream, and by the way, I still have that same dream tonight just as much as I've ever had, amen. It's not a completed dream yet, and I'm still working on it, amen. But I had a dream, amen. Amen. Had a dream. Tonight, you got to have a dream, and you got to tell your dream. Amen. It's not a secret. I'm telling you what the dream is, amen. I've said it before, amen. It's not news to some of you. But I tell my dream every once in a while because it needs to be told, because Jeremiah said, tell a dream, amen. We're going to be closer to fulfilling that dream if we keep telling the dream. Keep telling the dream, amen. Tonight, have a dream. Then tell your dream to somebody else and put yourself on the spot. You have a goal, then tell it, amen. Have a dream, and then tell it to everyone. And you'll be more likely to pursue after it and stay after it until you get it and achieve it and reach that goal, that dream one day. That's why you should never keep your dream a secret. Yeah. Tell your dream, amen. Yeah. Number three, you're your last one, and that's this. Accomplish the dream. Accomplish the dream. Don't pack your Bibles up yet. Accomplish the dream. Have a dream. Tell the dream, then thoroughly accomplish the dream. I have a dream I'm still working to fulfill that dream. I have a dream that each person of our church will become a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer of the Word of God only. I work every week to try and help to do my part to fulfill that in people's lives. I can't make anybody do anything, but bless God, as long as you come here, you're going to hear me preaching about it, amen, every week.
Yes.
I can't force anybody to do anything, but I'm praying for you, and I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to encourage you in every way I can to do that which is right. Because it's all part of fulfilling the dream. Amen. My family tonight has stood by me to help me fulfill my dreams. They have labored with me here at this church to try to help me accomplish the dreams that I've had. And they continue to do so. My wife's dream in life is to just be a godly mother and take care of her husband and raise her kids for God. However, she's gone far beyond what any wife should have to do and has made sacrifices in her life in order to help her husband succeed in his dream. And I appreciate that so much. It's important. I feel guilty sometimes about all my wife does. And in fact, all my family and what they've sacrificed. And some of you don't have any idea what my family has sacrificed for me to come here for these last 10 years. And I know there'll be a few of you say, oh, song and dance, we heard that before. Listen, folks, I had a good job, I had a good income. We were in a fantastic church that had so many things to offer for my family. I left all of that behind so I could come here for at first zero a week, and then for $100 a week, and then $125 a week for a number of years. And for a number of years, and Brother Yeager knows that's true, I put more money in the offering plate every week than what I ever took out of this church for years and years. Because I have a dream.
Amen.
Because I have a dream. And folks, I don't have a giant income. I've already given over $8,000 to this church so far this year out of my pocket. And I'm not bragging, but that's far more than anybody else has done here. But I've got a dream, and I'm working on that dream because I care about what we're doing here. It means everything to me, what we're doing here, almost everything to me. It doesn't mean more than my family, but it means everything to me, what we're doing right here. It means everything to me. Everything to me. I'm just trying to pass that dream on to you. I'm trying to get you to have a dream for your own life, for your own family, for your own future, for your own ministry. I could not do everything I've done here without the help of my family, and I appreciate that. At one time, some years ago now, had gotten to the place, it was before about half of you were even here tonight, in all honesty, almost got to the place where I was real close to leaving this place, real close. I got to the place where I just got discouraged, and it was a sin, because discouragement's always a sin. I don't try to hide behind it and claim that I need some pills and some help and just help me because I'm depressed. I don't like the word depressed. I like the word discouragement. It's a Bible word, discouragement. I was discouraged because we've been here so long. Oh, it was about 6 years, I guess. Closed out 5 years. And things were just the same. Just the same for a while. Just the same. People come and people go. We had some of you have been here with me the whole time. We had some sharp couples come in here. And they stay a year or two. And then what they do? They leave. Move to some other state, some other city for some other job. And it'd be like, you know, we can't ever keep anybody here. Except just the same old bunch. Not that I don't appreciate you guys. But some of you is getting old, amen. And you ain't going to be here forever. I got discouraged. And I had had somebody who had been after me for several years to come and help them and then eventually take their place pastoring a church down in Texas. And it was going to be so close to Longview Baptist Temple, so close they were going to let me put my kids in the Christian school. It was going to be 35 miles away from them. I'll tell you what, I was close to leaving. I was close, so close. I haven't missed hardly any Sundays here in all the time I've been here. I think one. And to be honest with you, didn't know at the time, those that were here, but I was candidating for another church that weekend when I was gone. That church down there. But when I came back, something happened. I'm sure word leaked out. I'm sure people were suspicious. I came back for prayer meeting that night. Everybody got up and clapped. Never did that before. Never done it since. But I tell you what, I felt guilty as I went around town. I went to this different locations where I'd had dreams about different things that would happen one day in our town and through our church, and I was so heavy-hearted that I would cry and I would weep, and my wife would know, and she'd try to consult me and comfort me I said, I know one thing. I said, if we leave here now, I said, everything that we've worked and labored for 6 years, I said, will be like it was for naught. And I said, the dreams that I had when I came here will never be fulfilled in my life. And I realized one thing. I couldn't go. I stayed. One person's excited. The others were hoping I would have left. But let's see, since I've stayed, and I don't even have it written down, I'd have to look around and think about who, but I know since I stayed, Miss Erica got saved after that time through our soul winning efforts. I know the Miller family got saved through our soul winning efforts after that time. I know that Blaze and his family came to our church, and after that time, I know that Brother Gerald and some others, Miss Linda, had gotten saved after that time, saved and baptized, a bunch of you Catholics, and Brother Calvin Scott, April 2011, right? I got to remember. He told me in April, he said, man, it's 1 year anniversary. I thought, what's he talking about? Then it hit me. I thought, oh, yeah, it was this time a year ago. And then others of you, the Hodex, and Miss Tammy and others. And then we were hoping Josue would leave, but he's still here. But lots of people. And that may seem like a small thing, but how small is that? That's not very small to me. And for those that got saved, that's not very small to them. So it was worth staying, having a dream, telling the dream, and trying to accomplish the dream. And guess what? We're still trying to accomplish the dream because we ain't reached it yet. We're not there. And I'll probably die here trying to finish and complete that dream, but that's good enough for me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We can do this together, folks, but I need your help. Amen. I need commitment out of you. I need you to help. And many of you are very committed. And some of you have been more committed in the past, and you're not as committed right now. I'm hoping you'll get more committed because we need you. Together we can pull the load. That's the idea behind the theme. I am not a great campaign person. I am not a big day person. I'll never have been. They had them at Longview Baptist Temple. It's the first church I've ever been in that had such things. I was not. I just didn't do that well on big days and stuff. But you know what I am? I'm a consistent person. One time I was talking to one of my bus division leaders and so forth, and I was talking about how, well, my campaign numbers aren't that big for the bus. And he said, Brother Painter, it doesn't matter. I said, well, but the campaign, that's a big deal at the church, and they push that. He said, listen, he said, you run big every week. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, the one thing about you, he says, you're consistent. He said, you always have the same numbers. He said, a bunch of people saved, and he said, one or two people off your bus route baptized every Sunday, and he said, that's more than what most any other bus captain in this church does. At that time, they had 48 bus captains total. So I felt pretty good about that. But my campaigns are going to revolve more around, as many of you have noticed, about the theme part of it and what I'm trying to promote. Now, do we want to bring people to church? Yes. Do we want you to invite visitors? Yes. Do we want you to try to win the contest? Yes, we do. And we do. Because guess what? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But we don't ever want to be said about our church, even though we don't have a sign, where the W will fall off. And where it says, here there is no vision, the people perish. Because there's 300,000 people in this town. And there's a lot of them need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as far as I'm concerned, there may be other people that are saved. There may be some other people that get the gospel out. But as far as I'm concerned, the responsibility lies on our church to try to reach this city. If any other church in this town gets people saved, that's great. Praise the Lord. We're glad they got them saved. But as far as I'm concerned, all I see is this city in our church, and it's our responsibility to try to reach this city for Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Here there is no vision, the people perish. Let's not have that said about us. Have a dream. Have a dream. Have a dream.